Excellent. Oh, hey, Gershwick. Good to see you here too. So, yeah, that's great. So what we're going to be covering today is basically how to get high-value clients from your email list. And I'd love to get some feedback just as we're talking here. I might just mute everyone as there's a bit of little bit of background noise, and then I'll open that up.
Scott, I think you got me. You unmuted me.
Okay, can everyone hear me?
I can hear you, but I'm still unmuted, Scott.
No, you're unmuted. No, very good. I think what happened there is I unmuted everyone, and then for some reason it unmuted myself. So I might just I'll mute everyone manually if I need to avoid that happening again. So let's get stuck into things. So what you know, I've basically been writing an email every weekday for. I had a short hiatus last year where I had a break, but pretty much for the last 9 years. And what I wanted to do on this webinar was basically share what I've learnt, because the bottom line is, if you've got an email list, you're probably leaving thousands of dollars on the table. And on this webinar, what I want to do is show you how to get extra customers with virtually zero outlay, which is definitely possible if you've got that, you know, that email list and that email list happening. So just while you're sitting there, just jot in the comment section, if you've got an email list and what size your email list is. I'd love to get an indication of that, because it would be great to get an indication of who's got an email list, who hasn't, and then I can sort of tailor this to your specific needs. Also, what would be super useful is to get an indication of, you know, what the size of your email list is as well, and what industry you're in would be really cool as well. Because what we're going to be covering today is we're basically going to be look at, you know, number one, how I generate a six-figure income every year from my email list. Number two, the two best strategies I use for writing emails, and this will make it dead easy to, if we have time, I'll show you how I punch out an email and maybe grab someone from the, from the audience and walk you through exactly how I do it. And then we're going to look at how to come up with 100 email topics or 60 email topics in an hour so you never run out of ideas, because a lot of people have trouble. It's like, oh, what do I write about? You know, what do I say, et cetera, et cetera. So we're going to cover that. We're going to look at the best type of pages to send people to after your email, and how to do it without it coming across as pushy, how to write a winning subject line, and heaps of other stuff. So let's dig in and have a look at what we're doing here. So basically my story, I started with zero emails. I built it up slowly. I got I basically put together a squeeze page, and I drove traffic to it. That is essentially how I built that email list. And I started with an autoresponder, which was basically, I think I had probably close to 100 autoresponders in there at one stage, and then I moved across to doing actual daily email, so it could be timely and time sensitive and all of that sort of thing. And you know, I've got people on the email list here, like Don's just said, I've been on your email list for quite some time. You know, I made a sale yesterday, guys, been on my email list for like 2 years. Never contacted me. So the real key with email is it's follow-up, because if you follow up, if you build that relationship, sales will come through as a result of that. So always remember with email, follow-up, follow-up, follow-up is the key. So how to follow-up? And I think where people get really lost with the email is, oh, how do I actually follow-up? How do I do this? How do I pull this off? And I want to introduce you to a concept, two concepts. One is talk right, and the other one is time and place. Now, if there's anyone who wants to be a guinea pig here, it's going to make it super valuable for everyone. So feel free to just message me or speak out. I'll unmute all the lines. If you want me to focus on your business, you know, look at how we can write a couple of emails for your business. This puts myself on the spot, and I'm very confident I can do this because I do it all day long. So let me, you know, speak up and let's go. So we've got Graham has said hell yes. So, and there's a couple of other people have as well. So I will get to, yeah, if I can, I'll come back and check with a few other people. So we've got Graham. So Graham, is your audio on? Just speak now if it is, and we'll see if we can hear you.
Okay, mate, should be.
Yeah, how are you?
Good, really well, good, Scott. Haven't spoken to you for a long time. Thank you very much.
Yeah, no problem. No, good to chat again. You've obviously been on my email list for a while, which is proof that this stuff works, you know, so which is great. So in terms of, Graham, in terms of your business, can you share just a little bit about, you know, what your business is and how it works and all of that sort of thing?
Absolutely. Well, I've got a couple of different businesses. The primary one that I focus on is My CRA Lawyers. We're a law firm. I'm not a lawyer, but I found out how to incorporate a legal practice a few years ago. And what I've been doing since 2009 is helping clients with bad credit to remove defaults from their credit ratings. Now, unfortunately, the challenge I have is that most people don't know for a start that if they've got a bad credit rating that they can do anything about it. So there's a total ignorance in the marketplace. Secondly to that, unfortunately, when I started the business in 2009, I was a prolific marketer. So everybody on my contact list, and about 10,000 people, suddenly realised that, of course, you can get defaults removed. And now I've helped to build the negativity in the marketplace, I suppose, because there's so many people now think they can do what we do. They jump on, they say that they're a credit repairer, and they're doing more damage than good. So it's created some negativity in the marketplace. We've always done the right thing. We're 100% transparent.
So in a nutshell, you help people with bad credit,
yes.
Basically overcome and get their credit back on track, right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, so if we look at this, so there's two things, okay? So we've got talk right, and time and place. And these are two of the most powerful strategies I've come across for writing emails. Because the whole thing with emails, it's as much about entertainment as it is about education. Because if you just educate, I mean, if you look at Facebook, people aren't on Facebook, and it's one of the most sticky sites out there. They're generally not on there for education as they are as much for entertainment. And the same with your emails. If you can entertain in your emails, you're going to get a far better result. So let's look at this. If you can you think of what I often like to do is think of a time and place, and that will kick in, and then use that as a metaphor to bring that into my email. So can you think of a time and place? Maybe, or can you think of a time when you were talking to a client and that story might be relevant to people, to your potential target market?
Well, so many. I'm not sure specifically what you want here, but we talk to clients all day, every day, of course, about
Think of one situation when you were talking to a client, and just get it fixed in your head.
Yeah, do you want a successful one, a call that worked or a call that didn't?
A call that has a good lesson for everyone.
Okay.
So now, yep. Tell me what happened on that call.
The client called up. They were apprehensive. They'd heard all the negative stories about credit repair. They'd heard that we were referred to them by their mortgage broker, so they wanted to know whether or not we could actually help them. We discussed their credit file, what happened to them, why they had a bad credit rating. I explained that the situation that they're in is not uncommon, unfortunately. I gave them some statistics, and more than 3 million people in Australia have this kind of bad credit we can help with. And they decided to take their broker's advice and go ahead and get the default removed so they could get a cheaper interest rate. That's how most calls go. It's pretty standard.
And where are they now?
The loan settled. Sorry, we had the default removed, the loan settled, and they got their home loan.
Now, I'd noticed something there. You didn't appear to have any talker's block.
Talker's block? How do you mean?
Exactly, because no one knows talker's block, right? And that brings me back to this. Talk right, talk right. So if we got a transcription of what you just said, thinking of a time and place, and then what you just said, we would pretty much have close to an email.
Yep.
That makes sense. So let me just take what you said and create an email out of it. Okay, mm-hmm. So what we've got here is, if we create an email out of it, you know, subject, she thought it would be impossible to get a home loan. Okay, let me just make this a bit larger. Okay, so she thought it would be impossible to get a home loan. The other day, I was chatting with a client. She really wanted to get a home loan because, and then, yeah, you can insert the reason. I'll just paraphrase here, but yeah, because yep. Insert reason. But the banks had knocked her back. Knocked her back. You know, she felt it was all hopeless. She felt like a victim. It seemed like the whole world was against her. You know, when I chatted with her, I explained that her situation was not unusual. Now, 3 million people in Australia have bad credit that we can help them with. Anyway, she was apprehensive, but she decided to give my service a shot. X weeks later, her default was removed.
Mm-hmm.
Her home had settled, and she had her home loan.
Mm-hmm.
Home loan. And if you could get a photo of them, it'd be awesome. Yeah, this is a photo of her today. You probably can't, but let's say you could. And you insert photo here. Here. And notice what we've done. There's been no selling there. We've just been telling a story. And then we can segue in nicely, perfectly here. Yeah, is there something, can you relate? Yeah, can you relate to name? Yeah, is a bad credit holding you back from getting, something you want for yourself or your family? It doesn't have to. It doesn't have to. We can help. To see the dozens of people we have helped achieve their dreams and unlock a better credit rating, go here. And then you have insert link here, and then that's it. And then your name from there and so on. So, and the link could take them to a page with just like heaps and heaps of testimonials. Do you know what I mean? Of success stories. And then under each testimonial is like click here, click here, click here. And they can click there and they can fill out a form and get in touch with you.
Yep.
So can you see how is, could you think of, if you really wanted to, could you think of a dozen stories that might work for?
Absolutely. In fact, I got my PA this morning to send me just the last 500 defaults we've removed because I came up with the idea. I've got a second law firm and we want to introduce the wills and estates service. All these people that have got these defaults removed have got their home loans, which means they need to update their will. And I thought, well, I never do any second marketing. I never do any follow-up marketing. It's almost like My3A Lawyers is a one-hit wonder. We fix the bad credit and then we never do anything with those clients ever again. And yet they all need to update their will because they bought a home. So
yes.
I've got hundreds of stories.
So what I would suggest you do is just document those stories.
Yep.
And then every day, or you know, if you don't want to be so aggressive every week or whatever, you just talk right, and you document those stories, and boom, they go out, and away you go. What's that?
Sorry, Scott, have you got a formula? I've been on your list for a long, long time, and unfortunately, because you're so popular and so good at what you do these days, you probably don't remember. We actually did some work together back in 2012, 2011, 2012, 2013, something like that. The way you can just type this stuff out, you made it all emotional. You made it all actually felt like it was hopeless. She felt like a victim. I don't think to write like that. I don't even think to talk like that. So
yeah,
is it?
I don't know if it's a formula, but if you start writing, I mean the formula is practice. So yeah. I have obviously written every day for a long time. So it just naturally is just like boom. And I can literally these days knock out a week's worth of emails in an hour. Like I'll just sit down and 6 days worth of emails, I'll punch them out in an hour because I find sometimes when you block tasks together, you can get them done a lot quicker. So I can do that now, but it's because I've had so much practice. And and particularly when I'm doing it for myself, if I'm doing it for a client, it can be longer, like a lot longer, because you need to do the research, you need to understand them, get inside their heads, et cetera, et cetera. Now, another little tip that you might want to use is to type out biography questions into Google, dig up 50 biography questions, and then go through all the questions and answer them on your iPhone or whatever onto some sort of, and then get that transcribed, and you'll have a ton of ideas that'll come through that's like super, super personalized. Specifically, because the more emotion and personality you can put in there. Like if you can say, oh, you know, I can remember when I was, you know, when I was, you know, 21 and I went traveling and I didn't pay this bill and, you know, I came back and I had a bad credit rating and I felt terrible. You know, I remember going to the beach one day and looking out, you know, on the horizon, and I was just angry at myself. And then I just got this, you know, I jumped in the water and I thought, what am I doing? I need to forgive myself for doing this. You know, we're all allowed to make mistakes and all of this sort of thing. And if you're telling that sort of story, it's like the customer's listening to it and they're resonating with it. And the more of you can put in there, it's like this is the reason why we watch reality TV and all of this sort of thing, is because we love to know people's stories, and all of us have a bit of a voyeur in us. You know what I mean? It's why, what's the name of it? The Kardashians are so big. You know, everyone's like fascinated in their life or whatever. So, that's really, 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 really key. So I might just, check in with, I think Brett wanted me to look at his emails, or do an email as well. And
thank you so much, Scott. I really appreciate the time, mate.
No, more than welcome. More than welcome. Brett, you there? John. John, are you there?
Yes, mate. Oops.
Yeah, no, excellent, excellent. So in terms of the, you know, tell me, so you've obviously got, I know what your business is. You're in the travel industry, but maybe you can just give us a quick sort of 20-second overview of what you do.
Well, we are in the travel industry, faced with major challenges at the moment, and that is the fear for people travelling with all this terrorism type stuff going on out there. So, how do you overcome that?
Okay, that's a good point. So let's say, and this is a conversation occurring in people's minds, okay? So I saw a Facebook post the other day from a friend of mine, and he was saying that, you know, that basically in Paris everyone isn't in lockdown and fear and everything. People are walking around in the streets and then he was basically saying that, you know, the media, you know, makes a monster out of things, and you know, you can't live your life in fear, et cetera, et cetera. So let's just look at that as a headline concept. So if we got subject, you know, you could say, yeah, is Paris really as bad as they say? And then you would find maybe you would find stuff talking about how the media hypes things up and all of that sort of thing. So you could have something like, let me just say, you know, the other day, I've noticed a lot of fear lately about terrorism, etc. And of course it's war, and of course it's warranted. Yeah, this stuff does happen. But I was on this guy's blog the other day. He was from Paris. And he was saying how the media is making it all seem far worse than it really is. I mean, they always do it, don't they? They always do it, don't they? The media thrives on fear because fear sells newspapers. But let's put this into context. You know, amount of people died in Paris. Yes, it was tragic. Yes, it was horrible. Yes, it was sad. But guess how many people died on the roads in Australia? Yeah, last week. About last month. and you get this statistic, amount of people. Yet do you stop driving? Do you stop driving? Do you stop? Are you walking? Yeah. Are you walking everywhere? Yeah. Are you have you bought a horse and cart? Of course not. Why? Because you can't live your life. Because you can't live your life in fear. There are risks to everything. Everything. But is the risk knocking back worth? Yeah, is it that risky to travel right now that you will stop yourself from enjoying the magical rewards it offers. Things like, and then you paint picture, you know, I'm sure you've got sailing down the Nile with a cup of, with a nice glass of bubbly, and you might include some pictures or something like that, and you put all this picture copy. The statistics say no. Please don't let the media win. Analyze the risks. Analyze the rewards. And make an informed decision. If you need help, go here. It's a link here. Or if you need help making it all happen in the safest possible way, go here. And you insert link there and you're done. How's that sound?
Yeah, that's got some legs, Scott. What I was wondering is, because I actually made a small post on Facebook this morning, and basically there's a video on there of a guy whose wife was killed, and he basically, it's had 7 million plus views already, and I actually posted it on our travel Facebook page and made a comment or something to the effects of, you know, how would you react after this, if this had happened to you? Would you have the same courage and faith that Antonio is showing? And then I also said, yeah, there's a risk if you fly, there's a risk if you drive on the road, and there's a risk if you stay at home. Are you going to live your life like that? Could you incorporate that into it as well?
Yeah. And that's basically the method of that sort of email. Is there's a risk in everything. But you break it down and you actually prove that, hey, you know, 150 people have died. Like, I was at a dinner the other day and someone was saying, oh, yeah, there haven't been any, there's not many ISIS attacks in America because everyone's got guns or something like that. And someone sort of shut him down pretty well because he said, yeah, but there's like, yeah, he knew the stats. He's like, yeah, there's 15,000 deaths in America from people just shooting each other. He goes, and there's like 150 ISIS deaths each year. So pick which one would you prefer? Do you know what I mean? So it was like, but if you don't have those stats, you can't, if you don't have the facts, well then you can't present a very good argument.
I was on the radio the other day doing a show actually, and I used the, you know, how many people die on the roads in Australia over Christmas? I said, how many Australians have been killed by terrorists overseas in the last, you know, period of time? So yeah, it's something that.
Yeah. So the more you can pull in that, the better. And Graham's just said you'd have to be sensitive to the to the loss of the individual in the Facebook case. And yes, absolutely. I think you, I mean, we've all, like, it's a sensitive issue, obviously, but I think you need to address it head on. You need to name the elephant in the, you know, the elephant in the room, you know, sort of thing. So, and yeah, you know, like, you can, you know, you can stay locked up your whole life, but, you know, is that really a good, you know, a good life sort of thing? So, yeah, so I think that's important to, you know, for everyone to keep in mind sort of thing. So,
Colonel Graham, and I acknowledge the guy and his courage. I just wouldn't have a clue whether I'd be able to do that or not. And as it is, my wife actually left on Monday to go to Italy to meet a group that we've got there on Thursday in Tuscany. So, you know, life goes on. She took a photo at the airport in Dubai at 2 o'clock in the morning. She did it wall-to-wall. Her flights were completely full, both from Perth to Dubai and then from Abu Dhabi, to Rome. So she said it hasn't stopped people travelling. We never had one cancellation on Monday. We didn't even have one client ring up concerned. I had one call over the weekend from a daughter whose mother was in Paris, and that's the sum total of where it's at. And our business in the last 6 months has been up 40% over last year. So it's quite interesting.
All of the stuff you're saying now, this is stuff which you can share with your prospective customers as well. Like, see how easily what you talk flows?
Mm-hmm.
Just start talking and turn it into an email.
Okay.
Talk right, you know, and think of a time and place when you had those conversations or you're talking to people or whatever. Start talking about it and then turn them into, you know, turn that stuff into, you know, into emails. And I think you'll find it's much, much easier. Now, here's another way to come up with email topics that you can use. And there's because a lot of the time people are like, because you can use the talk right sort of process, which is quite powerful. There's other ways which you can come up with stuff that you can use as well. So let's can I have what you just wrote, please? Yeah, I'll let me just email me afterwards, John, and then I'll flick you a copy of the stuff I just wrote. So that's fine. So what we've got here is what I call the 8x8 strategy. And if there's anyone else who wants to be a volunteer, just type in yes, and I'll go through the 8x8 strategy directly and apply it directly to your, you know, to your business. Because this will allow you to generate a whole heap of email topics very, very quickly. So let me just have a look here. Email topics. So Rohan said yes. I'll just see if I can. If you want to talk, Rohan, and I'll see if we can hear you.
You're there.
Hey Rohan, how are you?
What's about yourself?
Yeah, no, good, good. So can you tell us about your business?
We're what we call a property strategist. So we work with different groups to find solutions to their property needs. In the past, we've worked heavily with agents, both here domestically and internationally. And
yep.
At this point, we're taking the opportunity to start up two new market trends, one which is for off-the-plan luxury properties, house and land packages, and also going directly to first-home buyers.
Directly to first-home buyers. Okay. So let's break this up into a handful of topics. So if we look at the topics which we've got here, just from what you've mentioned, One is we could talk about off-the-plan luxury properties. Let's see if we can come up with eight. Off-the-plan luxury properties, we could probably talk about first home buyers. We could probably talk about work with different groups to find solutions to their property needs. We could probably talk about current marketing trends. Any other main topics which you could talk about, Rohan?
Marketing trends, financial needs, and issues that everyone faces at the moment.
Financial needs, yep. You could talk about potentially negative gearing.
Yep.
Negative gearing.
Negative marketing, media reporting, the challenges that they faced, both financially.
Challenges, etc. Now, under each of these, so basically what the 8x8 strategy is we've got eight topics. I think we've got seven, but I'm sure you can come up with another one, given time to think about it. But we've got eight topics, okay? So now what we do is we come up with eight subtopics of those topics. So if we look at off-the-plan luxury properties, what could you talk about? What are eight things you could talk about when it comes to off-the-plan luxury properties?
Choice.
So choice, yep.
Affordability and financial savings.
Right, it's Jim Walker, ECE Fast here. Good.
Saving.
I'm sitting on the flow meter.
Sorry, I think we've
and
got.
And I have. You can change the adjustment, you know, the settings, but one setting that translates back onto the.
Yep. So we've got choice, affordability, financial savings.
Approved for international buyers.
National buyers. Approved. Yep.
Really getting what you want, not having to buy something that someone else has built.
Yep. Anything else?
That's about it for the moment.
Okay, so let's say, but if you thought about it, you'd probably come up with eight things, right?
Yep.
So let's say, so can you talk about, just as if we're having a chat, I'll say, tell me about choice when it comes to affordable luxury properties.
Well, the problem is at the moment, what is on the market for most people doesn't really give them much of a choice in terms of you can buy what is existing.
Yep.
So current houses. And if you want to, you can knock it down and rebuild. We take that challenge away by actually locating properties either in high worth areas that we can do knock down and renovations on, redevelopments on, or where there's available land in some of these suburbs as well that we can then build on. We design it, we then present it to clientels, they then have the ability to choose if they want to make any changes, and we're using economies of scale to make it affordable.
So what you've got there, again, there was no talkers block, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was just like, bang, you could just come out with it because it's all in your head and you come out with it. And within those things, yeah, within just what you said now, you could break that out and probably create that into, you know, three or four emails. Yeah, so what you're seeing here is under off the plan luxury properties, yeah, you create eight things that you can talk about, yeah, and then you just do what we did here and you start talking, and then you turn that into an email. Same as under first home buyers, you do eight things and you do the same thing: current marketing trends, financial needs, negative gearing, negative media reporting, financial challenges. Now, if you do that, you will create eight, you'll basically create, if you're doing an email a week, if you're not as aggressive as me and you're just doing an email a week, you'll have more than a year's worth of topics to talk about, in something you can probably work out in an hour or two. Just sit down, strategize it, bang, an hour or two, you've got a year's worth of email. So really think about, going through this process, because it's super, 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 super powerful, to go through this, through that 8x8 sort of process.
Yep.
So let's talk about subject lines. So how do you do this and take, and come up with a really powerful subject line? So the aim of the subject line is basically just to get, there's two aims. One is to get the email open, but two is to get the emails open by the right people. So you might want to flag, if you want to flag, let's say I wanted to flag business-to-business prospects, I could say, if you sell B2B, this is critical, or something like that. So, but also to get them open, so it's exciting enough to get them open. Let's just walk through, some of these things. Now, the big thing with email subject lines is you want to make them sort of, where there's a bit of a tease, or where there's a bit of excitement there. So if we say, let's say with Graham's from earlier, if we look at, the credit reporting, you could say something like, they threatened to take her, take something. So, to take her house away from, or to take her. And that taps into that emotion, that deep sort of emotion there. Another thing you could do is something like, that's sort of a problem sort of one. Another one you could do is more of a proof one. She got the house of her dreams. Her dreams. Even though nobody thought she would. So again, you've got a proof one where she's actually doing it. Another thing you do is like the number one trick you can use to get your loan approved. And again, it's like, there's a curiosity factor there. What is that number one trick? I've got to open that email. I've got to open that email and find out what it is, sort of thing. So let's say we look at the travel sort of scenario. With the travel scenario, we can say why John jumped on a plane to Paris despite the threats. And that would get people's attention right now. That sort of email where you, that sort of subject line where you tap into that. How to pay, 67% less on your travel if you're over 55. So that's a real sort of, promise sort of one. So you're really tapping in, you're getting inside your prospect's mind is the number one thing you can do to get your emails open. The property. Not all off the plan sellers are dodgy. Let's say if that's a thought in your target market. You could say something like, how to get high cash flow, get positive cash flow property, positive cash flow property in the middle of Sydney. Or something like that. And then again, that shocks people. It's like, you can't get in the middle of Sydney. Well, they've got to open up and find out. How do you actually do this? How do you actually pull that off? So just think about when you're writing, and I'm giving like, you know, examples just off the cuff here. So what I'm trying to do is tie it in to, yeah, everything that we've heard. So we look at how to do a subject line, as well as how to do the email, how to come up with the email idea, and how to come up with, yeah, all the ideas for a year's worth of emails, is basically what, yeah, what we're, you know, what we're doing here. So very, very powerful, very, very powerful process that you can, yeah, that you can use. So, so how do you sell without coming across as pushy? Yeah, and the really that what we've explained here is basically how to do this. So you start with a story, because stories keep us compelled, they keep us interested, they keep us, you know, passionate. We learn to get stories, we'll learn to get stories, you know, really, really easily, is really key. And you know, we're trained to really listen to stories from a very young age. So the other thing that you want to do is you want to keep it interesting. So you want to keep everything interesting and fascinating and continually come up with interesting stories, you know, whether it's from your biography, whether it's from your chats with clients, whatever it's from, you want to have that story. And then it comes down to the segue. So the segue is sort of like, let's say we do how to get positive cash flow properties in the middle of Sydney. So you tell the story. The other day I was chatting with someone, you know, they thought it was impossible to get a property in the middle of Sydney, but then I ran through, you know, and I won't write all this out, but then I ran through, you know, seven different strategies you could use to find it. And then we found one that would put $50 in a week, but which is always also soaring in capital gain. And then the segue is very soft. You don't sell in your emails, you just segue. So then what you do at the end is you say, yeah, by the way, there's three more properties that are sitting there in the middle of Sydney that are hot to trot right now. If you'd like to get your hands on them, go here. And then you send them to a sales page or, yeah, which explains it, and then they can buy there. So that's how you segue really, really tightly and really, really nicely with that. So just consider that. That's a really tight way to segue. So, and the best type of pages to send people to after your email, yeah, if you're looking for leads, you know, you send them to pages where they can basically just, you know, just fill out a form. So like the sales pages. Like if I look at, you know, some of the pages I've got, you know, there's this one, yeah, which basically has the proof, which has a whole heap of testimonials on there, and a form to fill out at the end to find out more, you know, to find out more information. The other sort of pages you could send people to is like a webinar page. If you've got a webinar coming up, much like how many of, you know, how we're all on here today. You know, we sent to a webinar page, subscribed, you got reminders, and then you came along, you know, to the actual call. Here's another page I sent people to the other day and got quite a few opt-ins. And basically, you know, it then walks people through, you know, the process, you know, it basically sells them, you know, specifically for, you know, email. So the more tightly your message and your page can be integrated, the better. Yeah, you know, whatever you're writing about and your message can be integrated, the better. You know, because obviously, if you're talking about one thing and sending them to another, then there's a disconnect. So really useful. So in terms of if you'd like to know more about what I can offer, or if you'd like some help with integrating, yeah, many of you may go away from today and go, great, yeah, perfect, got everything I need, and just start punching out emails. Some of you might be like, oh, I don't know how to make all this happen. And if you're in that position, normally I charge for a consultation. But if anyone's on this call and wants to, you know, wants to have a consultation, providing you qualify, I'll ask you a few qualified questions. I'm happy to spend half an hour with you and go through, you know, how we can create an email funnel. And then if you're happy with what I say, you know, we can do a done for you type of, type of system. If that's of interest to you, just go to launchtofunnel.com or scottbywood.com/proof and fill out the quote form on that, on that page. So if we look at some of the results that I've achieved when it comes to email marketing, you basically, let me just bring up, case studies. Yeah, at the moment I've got one client, where we're bringing in, in excess of $200,000 a month, as a result of, an email marketing process combined with traffic and that sort of thing. And Danavir, hang around, because after this, I'll answer your question about how to actually get the, get the traffic. We started off with a $340,000 email launch, then we turned it into $2.4 million over a period of 12 months. So big success with doing email launches there. That's with Ashley Bynes. Another one with Body Trim. It started with $500,000 launch, and then ran over 23 six-figure launches to the email list. So a lot of experience with email. I've been writing email headlines. You can see them on this site for Mercola it's not quite a decade, but it's heading towards there, where we see the split test of the subject lines and which ones work and which ones don't, et cetera, et cetera. So if you're looking for the email is really, guys, the critical thing to getting traffic to work, in my experience, because it's not so much the traffic is a commodity these days, but if you can turn it into sales with email, that's the key, and a sales funnel after people opt in, where you get them to buy something for $7 and then $30 and take them down that funnel, that is really, really key to your success with email and making that all happen. So if you want to check out there the Launch to Funnel website, you'll see a lot of samples on there as well. So like samples of email copy. I've also got some of newspaper ads and those winning headlines as well. Jump on there, have a look around. Yeah, if you're interested in getting in touch with me and finding out more, just fill out this form. Or if you want to see, some smaller businesses as well, go to that scottbywood.com/proof page and just fill out the form on the bottom of that page.
Scott, that proof page there that you've got open now, that's a completely different look to your launch to funnel. Now, one of the things I've struggled with is what is the right look? Now, this is the traditional sales page with a really big red headline and boxed text and the video and everything else. Am I being overcritical if I say that I thought that era was gone and you've got to make it all look spiffy and flashy and crap that's hard to do? Do these sort of pages still work equally as well today as they used to? Because they're easy. They're much easier to do like this.
Yeah, I haven't split tested. I haven't gone out and split tested it like this proof page and tried it with different design and all that sort of thing. And this one's sort of been up for a long time. So I can't really answer that question in terms of do they work the best. If I did it today,
but it still works.
I would probably do it, I would probably do it more in terms of, in alignment with something like this. But I figure, if there's a, it's the opportunity cost. I could work out on optimizing this and boost it by 20% or 25% or whatever. But my energy is probably, there's other higher priority projects that I sort of focus on. I would probably go, this one is also, I've also designed this to go after a really high level client as well. Okay. So I've, I've sort of, and it's different, you'll notice this is very different positioning than the normal sort of positioning. So, that's something you'll notice. And you can have different pages with different positioning as well.
Okay. Thank you for that.
Yeah, no problem. And Genevieve, I'll answer your question as well. Feel free to chime.
Muted.
What you can do is you can redirect people to a content page. This is what a lot of people are doing right now, or probably not a lot, but this is sort of in many ways what they're saying is best practice right now. You send people to a contact page, you put retargeting pixels, and then the retargeting pixels send people back to a sales page. But on the content page, they can also opt in as well. And the whole key to building up your traffic, because a lot of people will go, they'll send traffic, let's say, via Facebook or something like that, and it won't convert, and they'll go, oh, Facebook ads don't work, or this doesn't work, or that doesn't work, or that sort of thing. But with Facebook ads, the reason that they don't work is either it's bad targeting and therefore you're getting the wrong prospects, or you're not able to convert them into sales. And that is all based on the funnel. So it's just split testing that and getting it right, because once you can get, I've got a client who's spending tens of thousands of dollars a week at the moment on Facebook ads, and the reason for that, the reason they're able to do that and pull that off, is simply because we can get $1 back for every $1 investment really, really quickly. That's why they're able to pull that off and make that happen. So I hope that's answered your question, Danavir. Does anyone else have any final questions or anything that I haven't covered that they'd like me to quickly dig around? Oh, Danavir's just said, my problem is in the targeting then. I have no idea where to find them. I mean, it depends on your target market, but, in Facebook, you can go in there and you can say, I'm going to target, let's say it's weight loss. I'm going to target 20 to 25-year-olds, 25 to 30, 30 to 35, 35 to 40, and you can see which ones convert best. You can see whether men or women convert best, all of that sort of thing. And then it's just a matter of getting people to go to the squeeze page. It may be the targeting, but it could also be, silence some of these lines. It could also be the page you're sending it to them and it's not converting. So it's, you need to work for those sort of targets. Yeah, and if you're looking for fitness or e-commerce copywriting clients, I wouldn't be doing that on Facebook. I would be doing more of a direct approach is going to work a lot better for you. Direct mail, even jumping on the phone, calling them, sending them stuff like that is going to work far better than just, Facebook. It's like, 0.01% of your clientele is going to be hanging out on Facebook. You got to go LinkedIn, and direct mail is what I would, sort of encourage you to do, in that sort of situation. So, last chance, any last minute questions that anyone has, anything that I haven't covered, anything like that, just feel free to yell out and I'll answer it before I go. You're welcome, Danimir.
Can we just have a copy of the stuff you've written out, Scott? Because
If you email me after the call, or I might be able to get Sarah to work out exactly who was on the call and flick it through. But if you email it me after the call, then I'll make sure I get it across to you.
Excellent, thanks, mate.
No worries. And anything else? You know, if you're interested in in getting a done for you service, just fill out that form. And I will, we'll be in touch, and we can, if you do it within the next 24 hours, there'll be no charge for that consultation, providing that that you qualify. And, thanks for tuning in. It's been a great call, and I hope you got a lot out of it. And Julie has just said, can I have the Word doc? Email us at sbywater@copywritingthatsells.com.au. And we'll get you the Word doc. If I can, I'll find out everyone who is on the call and flick it to you. If you email us, then we'll make sure that we get it to you. All good. Thanks, guys. Enjoy your afternoon. Thanks for tuning in. Cheers.
Thanks, Scott.
Thanks.